Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. As you know, on the final Friday of each and every month, we bestow the Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor to a very deserving Central Virginia law enforcement officer. Deputy sheriff, police officer, state trooper, state police officer, special agent at the state police level or the Federal Bureau of Investigation or DEA, we've had them all. And I got to tell you, this is a very, very, very special recipient today. And there are a couple of reasons for that, not the least of which is that this gentleman has coordinated this award for other officers, which really does say a lot about him. He has served in a variety of jurisdictions, and he is truly just one of the finest people that I know. So let me welcome in Sergeant Miles Turner. Miles, thank you for being here, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
It's good to have you here. And I should let everybody know, we're actually recording this, as we do with all of them. We record them ahead of time in case somebody gets called out or there's a court situation and they're not able to be here on the actual final Friday of the month. We're actually recording this during National Police Week. And again, I've got to tell you, I think that is absolutely appropriate for Miles. Miles, I am so honored that you are here, and I'm so happy that I get the opportunity to present you with the Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor. Let's talk a little bit about your career, because I mentioned Sergeant Miles Turner, Caroline County Sheriff's Office, but you have had a rather illustrious career across a couple of different agencies, have you not?
I've done okay. I originally went to work for Wintergreen, the police department up in at the ski resort.
Yeah.
And after about 2 years there, I came down to work for Richmond for four. And then I went to the state police to help start up the firearms transaction program. We were the first state in the country that did those instant background checks for firearms.
Wow.
And I helped get that up because I'm a computer person.
Gotcha.
And then continued to work for the state police until 2004. And I had been doing the website for a state police. It was a former first sergeant named Tony Lippa
that
was running for sheriff up in Caroline.
Yeah.
And the night of the election, he called me. And I'd been following the returns because it happened. I knew three or four people that were running in various places around the state that year.
Yep.
And so I knew he'd won, and he crushed it. He got like 56% of the vote, first time he ever ran for anything.
Right.
And he said, why don't you come up and work with me? And to be honest, at first I turned him down because he wanted everybody to live in the county.
Okay.
And I had just bought that my dream house over off of Monument that I was in for 8 or 9 years. And so I turned him down.
Okay.
And a couple months later, he called me back and you should reconsider because I'm not going to make everybody live in the county. You just have to leave your car up here.
Okay.
And so I went, and I had people that were well-meaning, but they told me I'd lost my mind because in Virginia, a sheriff's a constitutional officer, like Commonwealth Attorney, the Treasurer,
Sure.
Of Revenue, and everyone that works for them technically isn't an employee. They're an appointee.
Right.
And you can get unappointed.
That's right.
So I had a bunch of people telling me, you're going to leave here where you get all this job protection to go to a sheriff's office? And I said, yeah, it's a new challenge. And
yeah,
I jumped in it with both feet. And, like any job, it has its bad days. But it has been a very good place to call home for my work.
Okay. So we're coming up with 21 years in Caroline?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tony Lippa, no longer the sheriff,
yeah.
Right?
Tony, Sheriff Lippa retired, let's see, it would be January 1st of 23.
Yep.
Yeah. And Sheriff Mosier, he handed the reins off to him. He finished the last year of Sheriff Lippa's term, and then he ran for office, and nobody ran against him.
Right.
Mosier has been a fixture in Caroline. Man knows everybody, and they all know him.
Of course. Of course. Well, Miles, let me take you back a little bit, because you talk about your law enforcement service. You start at Wintergreen, you go to the city of Richmond, you go to the state police, you spend the last two decades plus in Caroline. It's clear, just as an outsider, this is what you always wanted to do, I take it.
Oh, yeah. Most of the people that listen to your show probably don't even remember Adam 12.
See the man.
Yeah, that's right. I knew what I wanted to do. My mother says I was saying I wanted to be a policeman when I was three. I don't remember that, but I don't doubt it.
Okay.
And I still think Adam 12 was probably the most realistic TV show to do with police work.
Interesting.
Because Jack Webb went to great lengths to make sure everything was exactly like it was in the real LAPD.
Sure.
And that just kind of even piqued my interest.
Okay.
But I'll tell you that one of the things you do the very first day you're in the police academy, everybody stands up and you have to tell who you are, where you're from, so forth. And I said that I was an English major and everybody laughed. but I don't think the average person in the street has a clue how much we have to write.
Well, now, wait a minute. Were you an English major?
Yeah.
Were you really?
Mm-hmm.
Where was this?
At Chase Hart.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was unaware of that. Although, I will tell you, your grammar has always been impeccable.
Yeah. and it just amazes me for a job where you have to write so much.
Yeah.
Some people haven't mastered that. You know, great people, really.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking any of them, but it's just not taught like it used to be.
Yeah.
So anyway, they were all laughing then, but
right.
I'm the one laughing now because they're the ones who keep getting reports back with red circles on
them. Absolutely. Now, it's all right. I may have to raise one point of contention with you. I, too, grew up on Adam 12 in reruns.
Oh.
And, well, no.
Wait a minute.
I'm slightly younger than you are. But I grew up with Adam 12 and reruns. Mm-hmm. Loved them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved them. It was always better when they did the whole little card coming down the line where, you know, nobody even knows what a punch card is. I didn't know what it was then, but I thought, oh, my gosh, this is incredible, right?
The first time I ever went down to the Emergency Communications Center for the city of Richmond.
Yeah.
It used to be in the basement of the safety building on 9th Street. And they still had the card system. They were installing all the computers. It was a room literally next door in the basement.
Wow.
And they had that thing.
Did they really?
And, I mean, I'm sure the statute of limitations has run out by now. But one of the dispatchers, because they like to have fun at work, too. It's a very high-stress job. And those punch cards, they had places where you'd check boxes, you know, what beat it was, what precinct, what kind of call it was.
Sure.
Well, I'm not going to name this guy, but he put a card in the slot and then took a lighter and lit it.
Oh, good Lord.
And sent it down the conveyor belt, and then he yells out, "Hot one coming down."
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, when you're bored at 3 a.m., weird things happen.
Well, you know, that's what I wanted to raise with you, Miles. And let me remind everybody, Sergeant Miles Turner from the Caroline County Sheriff's Office is joining us. He is our May recipient of the Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday Honor. I look at Hill Street Blues.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was pretty close to the mark. But the one that I always come back to, and people sometimes don't get it, especially people who have never been on the job,
right,
is Barney Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because a sense of humor is absolutely essential. And yes, that sense of humor, let's be honest here, can sometimes be dark and twisted.
Oh, yeah.
And not understood by anybody.
Yep.
Who's not put on a uniform.
Yeah. And I mean, I've had occasions where I've seen officers that really ticked off a citizen that he wasn't saying anything wrong. He was just putting it in our vernacular.
Right.
And sometimes you have to explain to them, this is how we release tension. You know, we don't go home and beat our kids. We joke about it, and it's sometimes pretty dark humor.
Sure is. Sure is.
But it's what keeps you sane after doing this for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the different agencies you've worked for, Miles, very, very stark in contrast, I would say, that policing in Wintergreen is a little different than the city of Richmond. And
all of them are different.
All of them are
they
different.
They really are.
Yeah.
And one of the things I most enjoyed, especially when I first got to Caroline, is most of my career to that point had been very brief interactions with people.
Okay.
I can still remember this. I locked a kid up. He was like 19 or 20, but he was going and breaking into people's sheds and stealing power tools and stuff to go pawn. And anyway, he ended up getting a little bit of time for it. And I don't know, go forward maybe 3 years. And I got two neighbors side by side that both had their sheds broken into at some time the previous day and stole power tools. And I was like, man, I still remember his name, but I'm not going to. I said, man, if so-and-so was out of prison, and I looked at the date, and there's a site we can go to see what facility an inmate's at. And I put his name in, and it said parole.
Oh.
Like, you got to be kidding. Oh. So I went to his door, knocked on his front door. His dad answered the door and said, they're here.
Ah!
Yeah.
Wow.
And that never would have happened in most of the other places. You just didn't really get to know people enough. And all of those aren't bad interactions either. Like, I helped start up Project Lifesaver, where you wear the bracelet with a radio transmitter for Alzheimer's or autistic kids, that type thing. And you end up in somebody's living room talking about, Here, this is how this is going to be, and I have to come back once a month to change the battery.
Sure.
I don't do those anymore. They've got people that are assigned to do it because it's grown so much.
Right.
But you do. I mean, you actually get to know people. It's not just, the drunken public in the 7-Eleven.
That's right. That's right.
And are there bad people out here? Well, absolutely. But most people are inherently good, but they make poor choices sometimes.
Right. Well, the choices, you're spot on, Miles, and no shock in that, but the choices that people make absolutely are going to affect their lives one way or the other. And sometimes you encounter people, and after you've got some time on the job, I don't think it's, at least for me, it wasn't when I came out of the academy. When I came right out of the academy, I knew exactly what I was supposed to be doing. Find the bad guys, lock them up, send them away, boom, find the next case. You spend a little time on the job, as you know, you've spent a lot of time on this job. And there are good people who make really bad decisions.
Yes.
And there is accountability, and there's punishment, there's whatever there is. But it doesn't necessarily change their internal character. They've made a terrible decision. And I would say most, not all, but most can then say, wow, what a terrible decision that was. Let's never do that again. Yeah. And they move forward. But we talk about the good choices that people have made. You've made some pretty good choices. You made a choice to serve and have spent your life doing it. But tell me about your choice to be involved, as an example, with Project Lifesaver. Because in addition to being a consummate law enforcement professional, man, you are out there and always have been looking out for people who just need a little extra.
Sometimes it's a little help. Sometimes it's a little push.
Yeah.
To get straight and narrow. And I did a lot of, I'm a field training officer.
Yes.
So when you first graduate from the police academy, you don't, the day you graduate, go out and start riding around.
That's right.
Stay with a more senior officer that's been trained to be a field training officer. And I was riding around. A lot of times I'll just interact and chat with them while we're driving around. And I asked the individual I was training at that point. I said, so where do you want to be in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I want to be a narcotics detective. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And I went on and talked about some other things. And he was driving that day. And I looked over at him and I said, why don't we go work some traffic detail, see if we can catch a dead tag or somebody speeding or blowing a red light, something like that. And he says, I hate traffic. And he's entitled to that.
Yeah.
I kind of waited a second. I said, well, okay, you want to be a narcotics detective. Where are you going to get the drug dealer? Because they don't stand on the street corner with a big sign, get your dope here. And when you stop cars, I mean, I'd be the first one to tell you, a lot of times I might have stopped you for speeding, but I'm looking to see if
of course
something else going on. And most of the time it's not.
Yeah.
The most likely most of your viewers, the only interaction most of them ever have with the police is to get a traffic summons.
Right.
Or at least get stopped. Whether
that's
they get
right.
A summons
that's right.
Or not. And I think you can make or break the way one individual feels about the whole department by how you treat them on that simple little traffic stop.
Yeah.
I try really hard not to get sarcastic with people I've pulled over or things like that. People are naturally nervous.
Right.
And a lot of times when I walk up to the car and if they're cursing, they're not cursing at me.
Yeah.
They're cursing because of where they just put themselves.
That's right.
And you just got to be fair with people. You know? It's bottom line. You just have to be fair. To me, this job is all about attitude and how you talk to other people. Because you could talk Jesus into a fist fight with the right wording. And I didn't get in this job to either get beat up or have to beat somebody else up.
Right.
I got into it because I enjoy the work.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one word to describe what has caused officers that maybe didn't get into it for the right reasons, why they ended up getting out of it, and the one word would be ego.
Mm. Interesting.
You know, have I ever had somebody that I was locking up swear at me all night? Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, you know, in 15 minutes, they'll be at the magistrate,
right.
And I'll be back out driving around. Who cares?
Yeah.
People
yeah.
take stuff too personally sometimes. Not mean, I don't condone, especially some of the younger crowd, the way that they talk to any public official.
That's right.
But I can't force my standards on somebody else. You know, if it's not something that's a violation of the law, I can ask them.
Sure.
I can talk to them. I
right.
can counsel them.
Right.
But you can't make people be nice. You have to want to do that.
Yeah. Well, you keep, you demonstrate, Miles, and you've demonstrated for a long time. This profession ultimately is a service profession. And you either have, I always refer to it as that servant's heart, or you don't. If you have it, it doesn't matter how terrible the pay is. It doesn't matter how miserable the working conditions might be, hours or weather or time away from family or sometimes rather disgruntled customers. You still get up every day and you go and you do that job. And I look at Hanover County as an example. Our Hanover County Sheriff's Office, I'll stack that agency up against anybody.
That's a good bunch.
Great group of guys, as professional as the day is long. And they will tell you, almost, maybe not everyone, but everyone that I've spoken to, somebody, they will tell you about somebody they did issue a summons to, a traffic ticket to, who will thank them at the end of that interaction. Now, that says something about the caliber of those deputies.
I've only had that happen twice in my career.
Okay.
But it happens that the first time the person thanked me after, it was the first person I ever locked up for anything.
Wow.
It was a DUI, and it happened to be his second one, and he was like 24, 25.
Mm.
That's a bad road to be going
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, a couple of years later, I was standing in line at the Bird Theater to get tickets to something. Had a friend of mine with me. And I was explaining the story of how this guy, because he was pretty drunk, so he wasn't the most cooperative when
right.
I arrested him. But
right.
he couldn't have been any nicer when he got me outside of court. And I feel a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and it's him. And he is standing behind me 100 miles from Wintergreen while I'm talking about him.
Oh, my gosh.
How did, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Small world stories.
It absolutely is. Now, talk a little bit about your time with the Richmond Police Department. Because this
Sheriff's
award.
Office, but,
oh, I'm
yeah.
sorry. Sheriff's
sorry.
Office.
Right.
In the city of Richmond. My apologies. You know, this is all named for Jan McTernan.
Yes.
And
Jan was a wonderful person.
That's what I was going to ask. You knew Jan. Tell me a little bit about your recollection of Jan, if you don't mind.
She this is going to sound odd, but she would give you the shirt off her back.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
You know, she was very altruistic natured. And she went through probably the absolute worst thing that any policeman can go to. She was, at this point, she was an A squad detective, which is like robbery homicide.
Right.
And she got called out to a murder where somebody got beat to death over off Cary Street in the Fan. Yeah. And it was in an alley behind the house. And when she got there, it was her own son.
Yeah.
And I've had some rough moments in this career. We all do.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you can get anything worse than, it was bad.
Yeah.
So, and he was in the Marine Corps. I think he was just home for a little while.
That's right. That's right.
She died way too young.
Yeah. Well, she did.
But
that's actually a
profession in this profession.
Yeah.
Dying young. I've had friends that have retired and died before they got the first paycheck for first retirement check.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wears on your body.
It you does. Know,
it is a very physical job.
Yeah.
You have to do strange things. Well, you know, most people who are gunfire, they're running the other way.
That's right.
And
that's right.
We're passing them
going towards it. Yeah.
Which seems sort of a bit of a dichotomy there. If you want to live longer, but you're running towards the gunfire.
Yeah.
But
well, you mentioned some of the folks that you've known that have left us far too early. The last time that you were here was because you coordinated this entire honor for Doug Jenks.
Yeah.
And Doug was a great guy, great member of the Caroline County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah. I did not know Doug well until he came to work at Caroline. He had retired from Ashland, as you
right,
know.
Right, right.
And I knew who he was because he did some instructing at the academy when I was up there sometimes. He had a dog for a good while, and sometimes his dog would come up and help us find a bad guy.
Yep.
But I really didn't know him well. And I got to know him. Well, I got to know him real well by the time everything was over.
Yeah.
Him and his whole family, really.
Yeah.
And he was in this for the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to find this in most of the policemen I've worked with. They don't want the spotlight on them.
Right.
They don't, you know, I like to say, let your work speak for you. Because I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I usually screw up two or three things by breakfast.
Right.
But I feel like I got into this for the right reasons. And I've tried to keep it that way and pass that idea on to those that are going to follow me. But that doesn't mean I'm perfect by any means.
Talk about some of those that are going to follow you. And I want to lead into that. Number one, remind everybody that Sergeant Miles Turner is joining us from the Caroline County Sheriff's Office. He is our May recipient of the Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor. Miles, talk about some of your special assignments throughout the years. You've been on a number of specialty groups, and then I want to talk a little bit. I want you to talk a little bit about those who hopefully are following you, folks who might be considering law enforcement.
Yeah, I wouldn't change much of anything in my career. You know, are there certain days I'd like things to have gone differently? Sure. But I really wouldn't change much. I did a lot of the background investigations for our new hires. Plus, I also taught at the academy, plus as a field training officer. So I've had a chance sometimes to see people literally going from citizen to out protecting and serving.
Yeah.
Most people do get into this for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And even the ones that don't get into it for the right reason, I feel like if you give them good training and they have a good experience during the training process, which is tough, don't misunderstand me.
Sure.
But you can turn somebody that probably wasn't going to be the best officer into a great one. But you have to have it in your attitude. You can't fake it because if you know, the person in the other seat of that car is not stupid just because they're new.
That's right. That's right.
Many examples I could give you over the years of the new person being able to see the forest while I'm looking at the trees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I try to instill that even in I teach a lot privately.
Right.
I've taught in 31 states so far. And a couple of things I always try and instill in people, whether they're new or maybe it's a course for somebody that's getting ready to be a supervisor. The brick wall that is in your way, keeping you from getting what you want, that brick wall is not to keep you out. It's to show yourself how bad you want it. Because if you want it bad enough, you're going to find a way to get over that wall.
That's right.
You know, this is figuratively, not literally getting over a physical wall. But,
yeah.
And in first line supervisor, I can see this slide because nobody works for me. They work for Caroline County and Sheriff Mosier. I work with them. That doesn't mean I'm not going to supervise.
Right.
But, you know, they're not like my property. They are working for the sheriff and the people of the jurisdiction. I'm there to make sure they've got the tools and time to do what they need, that they get the training that they need. And I am there to offer correction when necessary.
Sure.
But I'm not going to follow somebody around. I don't believe in that. I never have.
You've got a passion for teaching. You've got a passion for training and instructing. You've talked about teaching in 31 different states. Is that your favorite part of the job? How about honor guard? How about some of the other things? Because you had, again, you've done a few things, Miles.
Well, that's probably a pretty good story. I got into honor guard because I couldn't stand going to the funerals anymore. And I know that sounds odd, but when you're doing honor guard, you're very focused on making everything look right for that family so that they have some pleasant memory, even though it's a terrible day.
Right.
You know, they see that the way that their loved one is being cared for. And, and I don't know. You go to a lot of funerals in this job.
Yeah.
And a lot of times all you're doing is standing at attention for 45 minutes while the funeral's going on. Right. And you got nothing to think about but this person that you used to work with or you knew, or maybe it's one that's even a stranger. I mean, we don't just go to people we know.
Right.
And I don't know if I've shared with you. I had a academy student when I was a class coordinator that died right in front of me. He was 34 years old. He had an undetected heart problem, and they were just doing some warm-up PT that morning. That's, you know, nothing heavy. It's not like he was running 10 miles or anything. Just some basically loosening up your muscles PT.
Sure, sure.
And he started having problems breathing, so we called an ambulance, and I sat him down on a bench. And I was closer than you and I are right now. And he was in the middle of a word, and it was like turn off a light switch.
Jeez.
And I did EMS as a volunteer for, started when I was 16. And I did it into my late 30s before I finally had to pick one or the other.
Yep.
So I've seen a fair number of people pass on.
Yeah.
And I knew as soon as it happened.
Yeah.
You know, and the ambulance had literally pulled up as he passed.
Right.
But I was looking right in his eyes, and just in the middle of a word, he just stopped, and you know, I knew it.
Yeah.
And then to have to go back up later, because we followed the ambulance to the hospital, and a couple hours later, I came back and I had to tell my class, "Hey, he died." And that's the day I won't forget, but I had to get past.
Right.
You know, it's. You're the same as me in that your life is a product of everything you've done, good or bad.
That's true.
And same true for me. You know, I try to learn from the stupid stuff I do. And I've done some stupid stuff.
Some of us have notebooks filled with the stuff we've done, Miles. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There's a lot to learn. But when you talk about that, it's something that the general public needs to be aware of. And they're not always aware of it. Because, again, when law enforcement is interacting with you, generally speaking, it is either the worst day in your life or it's about to become the worst day in your life.
Yes.
For that man, that woman who's out there doing the job, and I don't mean this to be dismissive or cavalier, but it's another day at the office.
Yeah.
And we somehow, I still say we, but I mean, you somehow, some way, have to say to yourself, man, this stinks, or it's a really bad situation for them, and I got two other calls I got to get to, and I got to answer those, and I got to get back on the street, and I got to keep doing this job for the betterment of the community. Yeah. So the general public doesn't necessarily understand, and for those who are doing the job, it traditionally has been something you've just sort of sucked in. Right. We were all told just suck it up and move along.
Emotional robots, the word I use.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, and you have to tell somebody their loved one got killed.
Yep.
Or even you have to tell the 5-year-old that daddy's having to come with me tonight.
That's right.
I mean, it is part of the job.
Yeah.
I think we're much more fortunate nowadays that we recognize how hard that is on you over the length of your career, because post-traumatic stress is very cumulative.
Mm-hmm.
And so the longer you do it and the more bad events that you go to, it can get pretty trying on you.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the exact year now, but it hasn't been that long ago, maybe in the last 10 years. The number of police officers in this country that were killed feloniously was less than the number of police officers that killed themselves.
Right.
That's pretty telling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, when we first got in this line of work, most people either stayed till they got fired, retired, mm-hmm. or died.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't find that anymore.
No.
It's very seldom that you see somebody that goes from 21 all the way to, you have to go at 70 in Virginia.
Right.
But we can go at 50.
Okay.
Yeah, you just don't see that as much as you used to.
No.
And the benefits aren't as good as when I started. I mean, I know when I was in VRS, Virginia Retirement System, for years, and I was on what they called Plan 1, which actually was pretty good. Oh. Then they came out with Plan 2, which was not quite as good. And then they came out with what they called the hybrid.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah, it's, I don't know if I'd want to do it under VRS if I had to start over in that third plan.
Interesting. Because
a lot of it is...
Yeah.
Basically, what I get in a pension,
right?
You would get, if you were in Plan 3, you would get half of that plus whatever you'd put in your 401k that you were taking out.
Wow.
Well, 457 in public service.
Yeah, yeah.
Same idea.
Interesting.
And that's hard when you're trying to recruit people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got Dominion's table right next to yours, and Dominion's benefit package would choke a horse, and you're offering half the retirement, unless you do a lot of saving.
Right.
You know, but I still don't feel like most people get into it for the money or the benefits.
Well, and that's just it. We're back to that, Miles. Yeah. It is a profession, certainly, but it's also a calling. And some answer the call. And for those of us that have been around a while, I share this when I get the chance to speak to academy classes, because I go in there and I have a program that I've put together called Why Would Anyone Want to Do That Job? And it's all based on conversations with my wife. Heidi never knew me when I was in law enforcement, and she still doesn't quite process why so many of my friends are in law enforcement. And some I've known, well, since I graduated the academy. It's a long time.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I will say to those recruits is, when I took the job initially in Philadelphia, I remember this day, $17,298 was the salary. And even then, that wasn't good money. I mean, I just got to tell you, that hasn't been good money probably since the turn of the other century. Maybe 1900, $17,298 was a windfall. But even in the 80s, that was not great money. And yet, we had all sorts of really solid people who said, this is what I want to do. This is what I need to do. A lot of us came up with other explanations, because we didn't even share with people that we wanted to serve. We did talk about the money, and then people would laugh. We talk about the benefits, or we talk, you know, there was always some other thing. Now, I think there is... a little more honesty. But I also think that what we've seen, certainly during last couple of decades, is the rise of peer support within law enforcement. You see things, you do things that you don't want to share with a family member. You don't want to tell your wife or your husband that you had to do that notification, or you had to pick up pieces of what was a human being just moments ago.
Yep.
So in the past, a lot of guys dove right into the bottle. There was a huge divorce rate. It was
still is.
Yeah. The suicide rate. It's some serious stuff. And when you talk about post-traumatic stress being cumulative, again, you might have a slow day.
Oh, yeah.
But every day, just about, there's going to be something that you see or do that just starts to pile on. So unless we are supporting these folks literally from day one, we're not helping. We're not helping our own.
We lost so many policemen in 2000.
Yeah.
We really did. Yeah. I can't tell you that. I don't even have a number for the area around here. But as if the trying to retain people wasn't hard enough after what happened in 2000 around here. I mean, I know of, right off the top of my head, I can think of three people that quit within a week of that and went to do something else, found another, and they must have found another job pretty quick.
Right, right.
And, you know, are we perfect? No. But do we sit home every day thinking about who we're going to go shoot today? No.
Right.
It's not fun. It's not. You don't get to go right back to work the next day like you do in every movie or TV show about the police. And that's part of our problem is we're rarely accurately portrayed.
Right.
And that's all most people know about law enforcement, unless they've gotten that speeding ticket.
That's right.
Is what they see in the movies.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you how much it has spilled over. I was part of an interview panel for new people, you know, selecting who we were going to hire. And it was three of us, and I can't remember exactly how many questions, but it always, every one of those panels, it would fall to me to ask the last question, which was, we've asked a lot of questions of you. Do you have any questions for us about the process?
Mm-hmm.
And this kid, I'm 22 maybe, looks across the table at me and says, well, does everybody have to work holidays and weekends? And I'm just... What do you say to that? we're open 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if everybody had to do it. And I did a little count of the years of service the three of us had, and it was a rather high number. And
right.
I told this
right.
kid,
right.
there's this much seniority sitting here. So, yeah, you are going to work weekends and holidays because I'm not making him do it.
That's right.
You know, he was doing this before you were sucking air.
That's right. That's right.
So some of them do come in with unrealistic expectations, which usually those folks either filter out during field training when they get out there and see what it's really like.
Yep.
You know, I had to take 16 mailbox vandalism reports in one little community one morning, and I had a field trainee. And he's like, we have to write a report for each one of these? Yep. And it's got to be detailed. It's got to stand on its own.
Yep.
You can't write, see this report.
That's right.
We don't get to cut and paste a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes that's what you do.
Yeah.
But I think part of what makes this job as stressful as it is, if you let it get to you, is you're doing a mailbox vandalism or 16 of them, and then the very next thing you get called to is somebody that got shot.
Right.
You know, and you get there, and it's some 19-year-old kid that got in an argument with somebody. And, you know, think about we just had that funeral in East and to Richmond where,
right.
And that was two family members.
That's right.
Shooting at each other at a funeral.
Yep.
And they couldn't even finish burying the person because it was part of the crime scene.
Yeah.
You know, they're picking brass out of the vault.
It's crazy.
I got off on a little bit of a tangent, but when I have people ask me, you know, am I going to be able to do this or that, or, can I go straight into forensic work? Or, you know, no, you usually have to work the road and learn how to do that job before you can go do this one.
That's right.
And every living person has gifts. but they're not all the same gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about a lot of that with both our daughters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my daughter has the innate ability to make me laugh at the worst times. But everybody's going to respond to what they're good at.
Right.
And like if I'm training someone that just came to us from maybe they worked at a jail or a prison, that mm-hmm. happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. What those guys and gals that work in the jails can do better than pretty much any road cop I know is search people.
Yeah.
So the first time I arrest somebody, I'll say, search them.
Yeah.
And I'll watch them, and it gives me a good way to document something they're doing well at because they can do it better than I can.
Right.
I'm the first one to say it.
Yep.
I don't care how hard I look. They're going to find something I won't because they do it all day, every day.
Right. Right.
That repetitive persistence. And if I can gain that instead of saying, oh, this is somebody who worked from a jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, they're part of the criminal justice system.
Yeah. I found through the years, Miles, that anybody who comes out of corrections, I think they make amazing officers on the road because they can speak and communicate, I think, quite frankly, better than just about anybody who's going into law enforcement straight out of whatever, straight out of college, straight out of some other profession. Because they don't have all the tools. They don't have the physical tools. They don't have the backup. They can't hide behind a car.
Right. And well, as I mentioned earlier, this job is so much about your attitude and the way you talk to people.
Yeah.
I don't care what's coming out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
If they're frustrated or mad, I mean, I'm not going to let somebody get up in my face and start screaming because that's a safety issue.
But that's right.
Most of these people are mad at themselves and just don't express that very
well. That's right.
That's just part of being human. You know, you're going to get frustrated.
Yep.
You're going to tell me, I get frustrated all the time.
Yeah. You make people frustrated every once in a while, don't you, Miles?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But I guess if I was trying to explain to a brand new recruit what this job is like, because I remember going through it. I used to think I was Mighty Mouse, you know, here I come to save the day, and you're going to save the whole world. Yep. And that's not going to happen.
Right.
But what you can do is make a positive influence in your little area of the world. I can't fix everything that's wrong with the country, the world, the state, or even my jurisdiction. But I'm going to put my efforts towards, you know, when I was working the road, doing those beat calls and actually talking to people instead of just, let me see your ID so I can do the report.
Sure.
I want to leave people with a good impression of the whole office. We saw that with L.A. back in the 90s when they were under the federal consent decree.
Mm-hmm.
And two officers got arrested. I still have the picture. The next day on the front page of the L.A. Times, they had their booking photos in uniform.
Yep.
Why on earth? Booking pictures in a uniform. And the people reading the paper that don't know anything about this job, they don't think those two people are bad. They think everybody in that department's crooked.
Right.
And it's not accurate. I don't care what agency you go to.
No, not at all.
You know, we're recruiting from humans, and humans make mistakes.
Yeah.
I try and tell them enough when I'm training them or when we're doing recruiting to explain the bad things to expect and anticipate and be ready for. But there's also a lot of good in this job. I mean, I don't know. I try to be the perpetual optimist.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work. But, you know, we were talking earlier about people didn't used to leave this job unless they died or retired.
Right, right.
You know, I had cancer in 22. And I worked probably my first 2 weeks of chemo until I could tell, because I told my captain, look, when I'm not able to do this, I'll let you know. I'm not going to get somebody hurt.
Right, right.
And as soon as I started feeling any difference in my abilities, I said, I got to go.
Yeah.
But one thing I told myself the last day that I worked before I started the treatment was, you know, me getting all upset about this is not going to fix anything. This is the cards I got dealt. Hmm. It's time to play the hand. And I was determined I was not going to have to leave this job because of cancer. It took me about 6 months. And I was in treatment about four, but it takes you about 2 months to get all that crap out of your system. But I really do enjoy what I do. And because I enjoy what I do, I wanted to go back. And I wasn't letting this nasty crap I had running through my body be what made me retire.
Wow. Well, I can't think of a better place to say thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for inspiring a generation or two of law enforcement professionals coming after you. And Miles, I will tell you that as part of our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor, we've got a couple of gifts, and I want to share them with you. Got a buddy of mine, Tony Brewster, down in Chesterfield, who has organized a golf tournament for the last couple of years just to raise money for this. So Tony provides gift cards, and so you will get those. For the love of chocolate down in Carytown, I don't know.
Oh, I know exactly. You want me to I can drive you to it right now.
Well, you need to drive to it. You've got a gift card that you need to use down there, and I could tell you about it, but clearly need to.
Yes, no.
No. there is a copy of Steve Neal's latest book. It's called Toxic Boss Blues. Now, you know Steve, retired captain out of Chesterfield.
I just did a challenge coin.
Did you really?
It's in the. I just got the tracking for it today.
Okay. So, well,
that's too funny.
When you deliver them, you tell him you are perusing his book, Toxic Boss Blues.
Steve's a good guy, and he's got another book coming out. That's actually what the coin is about.
Oh,
it's for his book.
You know, it's funny. You might know the person who wrote the foreword for that book.
Who? Did you? You wrote it.
I did.
Well, small world.
Yeah. See that? You've got a gift certificate. My friend Laura Sylvester loves to bake, and she's an amazing baker. She is now the official baker for Julia's birthday.
Oh,
She has a company. It's called the Pie Safe Baking Company. And so she's provided a gift certificate as well as the menu. Everything is good on it. I will tell you that. Although the Julia Katz cake, slightly biased, but it's pretty doggone good. You remember, of course, Mike Walter.
Oh, yeah.
Mike's wife, Jamie, and their children have put together a letter, and there's a challenge coin in here and some gift cards. And so that is yours.
Yeah, my wife used to work with Jamie. She's a great lady.
She is. She's like two great ladies.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot out of this. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
There is a thin blue line flag that Pastor Steve Boots makes for us. He is the lead police chaplain now for Henrico County's Police Division. And on Sundays, you'll find him out there at Mount Victory Baptist Church, because he tells me that pastors only work an hour a week on Sunday. So that seems to be a pretty good gig, and that's where he is on Sundays. Jan's son, Michael, commissioned our challenge coins, and so they only go to recipients of our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor, and one of our mutual friends, Miles. I know I don't have to tell you about Emily,
but
I'm going to brag on Emily anyway, because I love Emily. Emily Morrissey from Emily's Bracelets, emilysbracelets.com. Her folks and her brother set her up a business a number of years ago. She had this amazing talent working with beads in school. And so they set up emilysbracelets.com, and she makes just beautiful, beautiful bracelets. She's in the middle. Again, I said I'm going to brag on Emily. She's in the middle of making, I don't know, 2,000 or something bracelets for the Ark of the United States. They're using her bracelets as one of their big gifts this year. And you will, I know it's going to be a backup for you, but you can never have too many bracelets Emily.
And she helped us out a lot when we were working on keeping that guy that killed Mike in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. She's an amazing woman.
Viewers won't be able to see it, but it's ironic you bring her up, because her brother has a perfect replica of Herbie the Love Bug. Perfect. And he asked me if I would make a picture. What we did is we mocked up a traffic stop with my police car, and Emily's behind the wheel of of Herbie in the picture.
I love it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that she enjoyed it.
She's the best.
She got out of the car and said, "Will you put cuffs on me?"
Oh, no. No, Emily. No. That we won't do.
Great family, though.
She is. And the Morrisseys are amazing. So those are some of the gifts. You have our thanks. And I know you've been with Caroline for 21 years, you talked about. You keep doing what you're doing. You have done an amazing job. As I said, I think it is so appropriate that during National Police Week, when we're recording this, and during May, where we look at law enforcement, hopefully a little bit closer and a little more supportive, that you are our honoree. I can't think of anybody else better than you, sir. And I thank you for being here.
Well, and I appreciate you recognizing. But one thing I would like to leave you and any of your listeners with is I'm not the unusual. This is what we do.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we're here for.
Yeah.
And I really do believe that. If you've done something wrong and I have to lock you up, I'm going to lock you up. Don't misunderstand. But I'm also not going to call you a worthless piece of trash on the way to jail. You know, it does no good.
Yeah.
So that's what you should be thinking about if you've never done this job. And, you know, maybe that officer that you've had called to your residence had something you never want to see in your life as his last call.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not making excuses for bad attitudes. But everybody has a bad day. And when we have bad ones, they're pretty bad.
They are indeed.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, sir. That is Sergeant Miles Turner from the Caroline County Sheriff's Office. He is our May recipient of the Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.